helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me is Dr. Jane Goldman. Jane, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. I should say good afternoon, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you're in Colorado. I'm in Tennessee. Yes, there's a little bit of a time zone difference, but so glad you're here and so glad that we're discussing this topic today on maximizing faith development. And we're going to jump into that in just a minute. But before we do, I think it'd be important for our listeners and those watching to learn a little bit about your background and kind of, you know, how does your life and experience intersect with what we're about to discuss? So, Dr. Goldman retired from Ohio State, the Ohio State University, a national champs as they are, and also part of Nationwide Children's Hospital, working as a spiritual director. During your medical career, you were working in pediatric primary care, teaching students and residents. Been working very closely with students and residents your entire life. A lot of discipleship and coaching and meeting weekly in your home for Bible study and fellowship. So a real deep investment with the next generation.
Yeah.
And got your MDiv from Trinity International University, but then got your DMin, your Doctor of Ministry from Gordon-Conwell, and had a thesis project that we're going to be talking around today is maximizing faith development in physicians during internship. So you currently serve as a spiritual director and live in Colorado. So again, welcome, Jane.
Thanks. I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we're, again, being able to have this conversation. And let's just jump right into it because we're talking about maximizing faith development. This topic of spiritual formation in students and residents, I mean, why are we discussing it? Why is it important for us to be discussing right now?
Well, it's really their life, right? And so they're facing a very stressful time, a time which will get more stressful as they enter internship and residency. And it's also a time where there is so much opportunity, I guess I would say, because they're going to be experiencing a lot of change when they become interns and residents. And one of my students told me, you don't learn to fight in the middle of the battle. And so if they could get some habits in place, some structures in place now as students, then when the more stressful times come, the better off they'll be, because they'll be probably changing maybe where they live. Mm. They may be have a new church, a new home. They may have a new partner, a spouse. They'll just be going through a lot of change, which adds up to stress and a new level of responsibility. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And so if they can get some structures in place now, that would just be so helpful.
So right and so true. And I'm reading a book about how we are limited creaturely. We're, you know, we have our creator and we're creatures and we're limited in what we can do by our own humanity. And I think, you know, when we come to the end of ourselves, we realize that's not enough. We need to lean and trust in the Lord and to build those habits, as you say, now, especially we think it's going to get only easier somehow. We think like this is only as bad as it can be. And yet we know that it gets, there are more challenges, and not just within medicine, but life itself, new obligations, responsibilities, and then again, all the changes that are going to be happening moving through one's training years, residency, maybe fellowship, and then beyond. It's a lot. And so the habits are so important. You know, I think we've already kind of alluded to it, but what are some of the obstacles that prevent students and others, really, that are within healthcare to not invest in those spiritual practices?
Well, exhaustion, stress, feeling isolated, sometimes just relying on themselves instead of the Holy Spirit, thinking they can do it if they just try harder, and experiencing a lot of challenges, personal challenges, feeling like they're failures. Lots of students have very little self-compassion. And so when they feel that heavy load of they're not good enough, or they're just not enough somehow. Mm. Oftentimes they'll tend to turn more inward or away from God rather than toward God. And so all of those things are obstacles, and just the pace of life, just mm-hmm. the rapid pace of life, and not having the space or the time to slow down and reflect and just to calm their body even. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of that. It's a lot.
It is. Well, you've worked so closely with Students of Residence over the years. How do you interrupt those bad patterns, those habits that so naturally, we could all be so naturally inclined to kind of lean into, because, you know, life just kind of takes us on its own journey. The whirlwind just kind of sweeps us up, and we're being doers, but not beers.
Right.
But how do we break that cycle? How do we break those habits?
Yeah. And I would say those habits of being doers and achieving and striving, that is built into the whole medical system of training. So this might sound funny, but I would recommend that they figure out what brings them joy. Huh. That is I would say that's got to be one of the first steps, an easy step.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a vacation to Hawaii, because they can't go there. I mean little things that make them chuckle, little things that brings joy. And it might be going out for a walk, but sometimes you just have to disrupt. And I think that was the word you used. Mm. You have to disrupt that cycle that they get into, and they may just be going around and around in circles, ruminating, and their inner critic going crazy, or condemning words that they got in feedback, or not doing well enough on an exam. I mean, there's so many evaluations.
I'm listening as you talk about this idea too, that we have these tapes that we run in our own minds, things that we tell ourselves, stories we tell ourselves, narratives we have.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned one of the obstacles too is isolation. Speaking to Jane, how important is it to have people in your life? I just think we're too very isolated. It's a very American thing to be very individualistic.
Yes.
But it even becomes that on steroids when you're in the medical profession. There's even that sense of being just isolated. So how do we get into one another's lives? How do we break that?
Well, first, I just want to address a little bit why that is so important. Because we think we don't really need that. We can do it on our own.
Yeah.
But the neuroscience that has come out, or neurotheology, particularly with Jim Wilder, there's a book he wrote called The Other Half of Church. And it's talking about the right side of your brain compared to your left. And he talks about that connection, looking at somebody. And it's about attachment theory. And it's about when you walk into a room, people see you, they light up, and they go, "Bill's here, you know, I'm so glad you're here," you know, and they know you, they see you, and you feel that. It changes your brain. It changes your connection. Mm. And that really helps us to grow. It's like how college students who are in a small parachurch group, maybe, they may come to faith that way and grow really a lot in this sweet fellowship. Mm. And then they move on to medical school, and they don't have the time, maybe, or, you know, even friends of mine in like fully adult life, we don't have time to have that sweet fellowship and recognition, and it changes you. Mm. And so finding that is essential, and paying attention to each other when you have it. And I know many students lament, "Well, I don't have it. I don't know who's a Christian. I don't, you know." Mm-hmm. Well, you can start praying. You can start praying and watch to see who God might bring into your sphere. You might have to say, "Hey, I brought my lunch. You going up to the cafeteria to eat? Are you eating? Can we just eat together?"
Yeah, and I don't want to pretend this is a surrogate for what you just said, but like, we deal with residents that are just so covered over and so busy, and maybe legitimately feel very isolated, can't really identify Christians in their normal circle. I've been able to at least connect online with other residents where they were limited geographically, technology has at least widened the scope. And it's really been life-giving for these residents because they can say there are others like me out there. Even though I don't know them within my zip code, I can get to know them. And so that's been
absolutely. Yeah, that's great.
So to your point, there's something that can be done. You know, we're not helpless and hopeless. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you mentioned, you know, some of the obstacles of spiritual growth. What are some of the things that facilitate it? I think we're touching on one already, just the importance of community and having people speak into our lives with life-giving words, with the Word of God, you know, to kind of to speak a word that's different than those tapes that we so often play, those narratives that we listen to in and of ourselves. So what are other things, though, that can facilitate spiritual growth?
Well, one of the things that happens as residents and students is just stuff from your everyday, ordinary life. Like you may be caring for people who are critically ill, or you may have patients who die. Mm. It could remind you of your dad or your sibling, someone close to your age. So anything that is an emotionally powerful experience and that challenges maybe who you are, what you believe, your attitudes, your actions. So if you have one of these, even like getting feedback, getting feedback can be one of those emotionally powerful experiences, or witnessing unprofessional behavior, anything that's really charged like that, it can help you grow. It can go either way. If you do not have enough support, people to talk to discuss this with, to kind of debrief this with, it could cause you to more turn away, turn in towards yourself and not grow in a good, healthy way. But if you have other like-minded physicians in your sphere of influence or just good friends, or I have to say, when I did some research or, you know, in the DMIN that I did, many residents turned to their parents. It brought me such joy, but they turned to their parents, and whether their parents are physicians or not, they know how to love and listen to their kids often, but having someone there in the midst of that very challenging experience is wonderful. It really helps you to grow spiritually, and you don't forget those lessons either. So that's one thing. Another thing would be being able to slow down and pray, spend some time connecting with God, not just going through the motions or checking off your devotions on a list. That was not helpful to most residents that I had spoken with, but really being able to connect, but you need to slow down. And so that may not happen as frequently as it did previously in your life, but it doesn't mean it can't happen at all. You can have a Sabbath.
Yeah. Talk about that. I think that's so often overlooked. We're just thinking, well, that's just an Old Testament, you know, command and dictate. How does it really form and shape our lives? And yet, I think this is an incredible gift from the Lord to give us this time. And yet, how can we effectively take that and guard to keep that Sabbath?
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, you have to break a lot of rules that may be in your own head, that it has to be a whole day once a week on a Sunday or, you know, something like that. Maybe it's 2 hours. Maybe it's 1 hour. You know, for residents, it can be very challenging, but I also know residents who play on softball leagues and who do all kinds of other things. Not that physical activity is not important, but I really want them to make this a priority. And so I think I want to get in there and have my commercial for God. So if they could just take some of their free time and set it aside, whether they need to go out walking at a park, something that they would look forward to, or maybe just getting in their comfy couch with a cup of coffee, a blanket, and just take their journal and sit with the Word and just be, just be. They end up falling asleep because maybe they need a nap, but that's okay. That's okay. But being able to slow down enough so that that swirl of the inner critic or the self-condemnation can slow down and they can take it to God and really be able to appreciate how God sees them, how much he cares for them, and how dearly he sees them and loves them.
Yeah. You just reminded me as you talk just how important it is to have a mentor, somebody in one's life. You mentioned that earlier, just to have that person. How important is that? Do you see, it seems like it's a topic of the day. I hear a lot about mentoring, but good intentions don't always translate to execution, to actually the doing. So how can those good intentions become a reality for, let's just say, the student listening? How can they find a mentor?
Well, I think they need to start by praying, mm-hmm. because who it is just makes the world of difference. Like mm-hmm. oftentimes different programs to match people up, mm-hmm. some it works really well and others it really doesn't. So praying and then watching and noticing who is in your realm of influence where your paths cross. Mm-hmm. So if there is someone at the hospital where you're going to see them frequently, mm-hmm. that would be great. And you can identify yourself as a Christian, mm-hmm. even though you might not know yet who others are, by just wearing a small cross on your lapel mm-hmm. or a necklace or raising those faith flags mm-hmm. that you would identify. And then sometimes you can start with conversations and hopefully it would be a natural thing. But I know that the older and wiser person should mm-hmm. be looking for mentees, but maybe they're not. Maybe mm-hmm. they're busy. So I would encourage the students to reach out and say, hey, would you mind getting together for a cup of coffee? Mm-hmm. Just start that way. Start having lunch or, you know, just getting together sometime over a meal and slowly building that in. But at some point, there should be a conversation about wanting to be accountable and wanting to have someone speak into their life.
Mm. That's a good next step, because figuring out a way to go beyond just the good intentions and to begin to see maturity and growth and Christ-likeness in one's life is not going to be, I'm thoroughly convinced, it's not an independent, individualized endeavor. It has to be done in community, or in the case of just another person walking this journey. We're just, God did, hardwired us to not be alone, but to be with others, to be able to, again, it's a means of grace, a way God works in and through our lives as he does. His iron sharpens iron, so does another person sharpen another. It's just so important. Yeah. So I'm encouraged by what you're saying, Jane, and I'm trusting the students listening would take those steps as you suggest. And, some it's going to be easier than others, but I think, like you said, start with prayer and then just begin to take those steps of faith and move forward and trust the Lord to lead and guide. So this is good. Well, I know that this dissertation, this work you did on spiritual formation came out of a lifetime of experience and a personal passion of yours to invest and pour into the lives of students around you. Is there anything that as we kind of come to a close, that you would want to encourage the students listening as to, how can they endeavor to continue to strengthen and deepen their walk with the Lord in the middle of one of the more challenging professions one can embark upon? How can they continue to press in and lean into seeing them becoming more Christ-like?
I would think maybe to keep it simple, it would be to have a prayer practice that I would say is like centering prayer, where they slow down, sit, and take some deep breaths, get connected with their body, mm-hmm. do a brief body scan, like where am I holding tension? Are my shoulders up like this? Mm-hmm. Just breathe in and out and just slow down. And then to visualize or turn their attention to God, mm-hmm. the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then as they're doing that, I would recommend, and one thing that might help is a breath prayer. If they're not familiar with that, it's just a very simple, like 6 to 8 syllables. Mm-hmm. And it kind of goes with the breathing in and out. For example, my breath prayer, it has to be something that comes from your deepest longing. So it's mm-hmm. not something that you pick quickly. because it's something that starts praying for you almost before you even know you need it. It's how you can pray continually. So like my breath prayer is with me and for me. And so as I breathe in, I think of God being with me and for me. And so that's how I settle into my prayer time in the morning. And then I use an examine. I review my day, the previous day. Now, I do it in the morning. I try to do it in the evening. It never works. I'm too tired. So I do it in the morning, and I just invite God to go through my previous day with me, looking at strong emotions that I might have felt, looking at wonderful conversations and connections with people and savoring that, asking for forgiveness where I turned and behaved not in a way that honored God. I was selfish or impatient, and just inviting God's perspective on my day previously. That can transform you if it's a daily habit, or not even has to be daily, but a regular habit. It will really transform you and make you more like Christ. And at the end of that, you look to the next day and ask God specifically how he can help you with what you're looking forward to in that next day. And then also a time to pray for others. And just that simple practice along, along with when they have an opportunity just to go through the Gospels again, again, and again, just slowly looking at Jesus, because Jesus is the best representative of God. And we have that. We have four eyewitness accounts of Jesus, and he represents the most exact way God is. And so many of us carry kind of a skewed image of God. He could be punishing, vindictive, I've got to work hard. He could be like your attending physician. But he's not. He's not. And so the best way to know what God is like is to spend time looking at Jesus, noticing how he treats people, how he is with people, and just imagining how he is with you. And so I really think that going through the gospel slowly and having that prayer time and looking what gives them joy would be really, really helpful.
Yeah, no, that's a good word, and I think I've heard you say it's coupled with what gives you joy. You know, I know people who find the, and I find this for myself personally, my best times of prayer when I'm walking, especially walking in God's beautiful creation. That's where my mind can really focus and go to the Lord, is in those moments. And so, but I think you know, what you're saying is simple, but it's not easy. And it's not easy because we know that there's everything in this world, and the enemy wants to do everything to do, but to distract us and to keep us just kind of running on autopilot without being reflective and hearing God's voice and allowing him to tell us that we are his beloved. Because there's so many of those critical tapes that run into our, our mental facilities. We're constantly replaying those. But God says, no, you are my beloved, and he loves and delights in his sons and daughters. So this is good, very good. Well, thank you for sharing a bit of this this work you've been, you know, you've done and continue to do on spiritual formation, especially in the lives of those who are in their training years. I think that is, I think to your point, is those patterns and habits made early on are going to be very important to carry that person forward. I should mention to the audience, you had written a book. It's still in print. I saw it on Amazon today, Progress Notes.
Yes.
An incredible tool, continues to be able to encourage and equip, and that's available. We'll put that in the show notes. Anything, any resources or things you might point to those listening and watching that might help further press in on the things that we've been discussing?
There's just a little book called The Joyful Journey. And it's by Jim Wilder and others. And in there, he has some practices to help you kind of reprogram your heart and your mind. And there's one called the Interactive Gratitude Journal. So I know many of us have heard about how important gratitude is and keeping a gratitude journal, but he describes an interactive one where we interact more with God and how powerful that is to change your prayer life. So I would really recommend that simple activity would be really good.
Good.
The Joyful Journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make sure to grab that and put that in the show notes as well. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Jane Goldman. Thank you so much for the work you're currently doing, the investments you've made over the years, continue to make in the lives of healthcare professionals. And I'm just thankful for you and your work in ministry and for being a guest on this episode of CMD Student Pulse Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's been a great opportunity.
Well, it's this time of the podcast where we tell you some things you need to know. As always, you can find CMDA Student Life on all of our social media properties using the handle and username CMDA Student Life. And you'll find us on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, X. And if you go to cmdastudentlife.org, you'll find a section in there for our show notes. And so you'll be able to get all the important links that we discussed in this episode. Well, thank you again for joining us for this episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse Podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.